Otakuology Podcast with Otaku Mike Engine Graves.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Otakuology Podcast. I'm your host, Otaku Mike. With me, as always, is the one person who follows me around in my fellowship of two, you know. We have Jin, my heterosexual life partner slash podcast co-host.
I follow you around?
Yeah, in our fellowship to go eat delicious monsters.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Because we're all going to go eat some delicious monsters in the dungeons.
That's true.
But today we are doing a first impressions. If this goes well, we might cover the rest of the show. Who knows? But we are talking about episode 1 and 2 of Delicious in Dungeons, which just hit Netflix a week ago, I want to say.
I think it was just last week.
A week ago, maybe. But this is based on the very popular fantasy food cooking manga, Delicious in Dungeons. And, you know, we thought we would talk about it, you know, because this is one that you personally really like, right?
Right. What? So I have a question for you. Do you still have your manga for this?
I've never bought it.
I thought you had some of this.
No, I had... At one point, I had...
Fake fan. God. Can't believe it.
What is that? What is that manga with the guy with the white hair?
A guy with white hair?
There's like a lot of it. Oh, the girl who... Pick up girls in a dungeon manga.
Is it wrong to pick up girls in a dungeon?
Yeah.
You're talking about Bell Cranel.
Yeah. That little guy right there, yeah.
Oh, that's my buddy.
I had that. I just hit my hand. I had that. Like, I had like the first volume or two of that because I was supposed to read it with Justin. We were supposed to do like a buddy read thing. Yeah. And I just never got around to reading it.
Oh my goodness.
And then I think I just sold it. Like, I just didn't even care.
How could you do that?
But hey, I have season...
We could have buddy read that.
I have season 1 of the anime, so we can watch it if you want.
We could totally be like, hey guys, we're gonna cover this.
I got the first season of that one, and I have Sword Oratoria?
Yeah, one of the spinoffs?
Yeah, I have that on Blu-ray. Both of those on Blu-ray. I got like a couple weeks ago. Oh man, buddy.
You got a lot.
Yeah.
You got a lot for those, because there's Sword Oratoria, and then
We're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about Delicious in Dungeons, okay?
I thought we were going to bring it full circle.
No, I don't really want to bring it full circle.
And you're like, no, just leave it there.
Just leave it there, because we're going to go on forever talking about it.
It's like,
but Dad, I want the toy from the store.
No, just leave it there.
No.
It'll be there when we come back. Leave it there.
But it won't be there when I come back. But yeah, I wanted to talk about this, and this is a show about a group. I'm just going to...
You wanted to talk about this?
Well, You wanted to talk about this.
I wanted to talk about this.
Yeah.
No, I got requested to do this. You had to spill the beans on that one, buddy.
What exactly happened? Because I don't remember.
Hello, your fiance texts me and say, will y'all cover Delicious in Dungeon?
Oh, yeah, that's and right.
I went, yeah, we can.
That's right. You know, I've slept since then, so I don't really remember.
I just have to say, I think it's really funny, because her favorite character looks like you, but I act like him.
Oh, so you're oblivious when it comes to traps?
I am oblivious when it comes to chess. I'd really be like, ooh.
Ooh, shiny. Why,
excuse me, why is your finger in that boiling oil? Oh, I'm just testing the heat, you know?
But, yeah, yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Anyways. So, yeah. I think
I have up to volume 8 of this, so.
Okay, so is it still ongoing? The manga?
No, it ended, I want to say it, like, ended at the end of last year. Hold on, let me look.
Okay.
Because I got the thing pulled up for names. 14 volumes, it ended mid-September last year.
In Japanese?
Or
is that both in English and Japanese?
I don't know. I usually go off of that whenever it's...
Okay.
Done.
Okay.
No, we're getting the 13th volume in March, and the 14th one has not come out in English yet.
Okay. So you're a little behind on your collecting.
Fuck you. Sometimes... We have life crises that deviate us from dungeon delving and cooking.
Okay. But let's get into this and talk about the first two episodes. You want to start us off?
Totes.
All right, let's do it.
So we have a dungeon party. I wish they had a cool name.
They don't have a name. They just throw them into the dungeon fight, right, with the dragon?
Yeah, they're just a group. The group doesn't have a name, but we have Laos, which is your human type person. I'm going to use some D&D terms on this.
He's like,
and
the
then
knight.
we're gonna relate stuff to it of what they actually are for what they're called in the series.
Isn't he like a warrior?
Yes. Yeah. So the first thing with him is all regular humans are called tall men or tall mans.
Uh-huh.
That's just your standard regular human. Like we're tall men.
Yeah.
But they actually classify it as like a race. So we have Laos and we have his sister Fallon, which when we start out, she is the person that has basically gotten eaten by the dragon.
Yeah, she's the one who gets eaten by the dragon.
We have a half elf, Marcel.
Oh, she's a half elf?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's cool. Interesting.
Laos is kind of like our fighter type person. He does stuff, you know, you can use a shield, different things like that. But other than that, he's kind of more of our jack of all trades character, I feel like. Marcel is our spellcaster. And then we have Chilchuck. And Chilchuck they call Halffoot, or nerd terms, halflings.
Is he basically like a hobbit?
Halflings are usually bigger than hobbits.
Okay.
Yeah. But he's our rogue. And then I would honestly say Sinshi, which we don't see him right at the beginning just yet, but he's a dwarf. And Sinshi, I would say, is almost like our paladin.
I would say he's the foodie of the group.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, he's healing everybody. Now, how he does that is with food, but you know.
Yeah.
But we have Marcel, Laos, and Chilchuck basically have Laos' sister, Fallon. She gets attacked and eaten by a red dragon. And they all kind of get rezzed back out of the dungeon after being killed.
Is it they get teleported out of the dungeon? Was that like a teleportation spell, or did they just get revived outside the dungeon?
I can't actually remember how they got out, but I do remember that if your party can get out, there is a location here where you can pay like a priest or whatever to reincarnate your bones.
Because right before Fallon before Fallon gets eaten by the dragon, she like casts a spell and they end up outside the dungeon. So that's why I was curious, like, did she cast a spell to teleport them outside the dungeon?
She probably did. That part, it's been forever. Like, when I started watching this, the first part, I was like, okay, you know about this, buddy. You know about this. So you don't have to, like, focus.
You really didn't focus on this?
So I spaced out the first part of episode one.
Okay.
Not the first half, just the first part, when they got out. And then I tuned back in when it was, hey guys, we gotta go back in the dungeon. But we can either sell all of our gear and have food to go into the dungeon, or we could just head back in there, or what do we want to do?
Yeah.
But they lost Fallon to the Red Dragon. They lost two other members, a dwarf and a samurai guy.
Yeah, they end up quitting because they can't afford them anymore, right?
Right, right. Yeah. So then we just have Laos, Marcel, and Chilchuck, and they decide that they're going to go back in because Laos knows, like, basically it's like 2 weeks for a red dragon to digest, and after it eats somebody or whatever, it basically just sleeps on it.
And they're basically on, like, a timeline.
Right.
To save his sister.
They're trying to get back to whatever floor that they know that they were on to defeat the red dragon and get his sister out.
Mm-hmm.
Now they decide, hey, let's just go back in there, because one of Laos's like weird, dirty fantasies was, I could always like try monster meat at this point.
And yeah, because didn't they run out of food?
Right? Yeah, they didn't have a lot of food. They couldn't afford anything, because that's where it came in. They could either sell off all their like armor and weapons and everything and get rations and stuff, where they could just head straight down there.
Yeah, or he wanted they could
keep their equipment.
He wanted to sell off their stuff and go back down there alone. And they're like, nah, we're going to go do this together. Yeah. And this is where we find out that he has somewhat of a monster meat fetish, I would say. You know,
this is where he wants to try stuff.
He wants to dabble and try new things in the bedroom, you know. He wants to dabble with his little monster meat stuff. And I think it's funny he has like a book.
You just made me think about if Laos was a girl character, how all that stuff we just said would be fucking horrible.
Oh, yeah.
They want to dabble in the monster meat area.
Yeah.
You sure we're actually reading a food manga?
Yeah, we are.
Oh my gosh.
But then we find out he has like a special book that tells him all about, almost like a survival guide for eating like monsters and preparing monsters kind of thing.
Right. Right.
Is what I got from it, you know. But they end up going down into the dungeon, and they're a little unprepared because of everything that just happened to them. I don't remember what the time frame was. They just came out of the dungeon and they're going back into the dungeon now. So they seem very unprepared. I love this scene where we see some more adventurers running away from this monster. You think it's going to be this big, bad, like monster, but it's like a little mushroom guy. Yeah. And it just runs past them. And then, is it Malos? Did I say that right?
Marcel.
I don't know why I said Malos. Marcel like just whacks it over the head and knocks it out, which I thought was hysterical.
Yeah,
like I think that's one thing this anime does well is humor. Oddly to say, like I didn't expect it to be as funny as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah,
so there are a couple times where I laughed pretty hard watching these first two episodes and whatnot.
Right. Well, and I really like the concepts of like what parts they use, which one of the things that, and I don't know if you remember this, one of the, my favorite things that you had with the books, is on the back of it, whenever they cook something or whatever, they put like a image of it on the back of the book.
Okay.
And so while you were reading it, you could kind of like turn and look at the back of the book and be like, oh, you know, we finally got into this part, you know? So
yeah.
You actually got to know kind of ahead of time everything they ate without knowing what it was.
Yeah.
But, this first one, like you said, I'm pretty sure they killed off the mushroom men. And I think they had like some meat with them.
Yeah, already. He ends up capturing a scorpion. Like okay. He sticks his sword with a rag tied around it, and the scorpion like grabs onto his sword, and like he pulls it out and like stabs it. And they go to start cooking the mushroom and the scorpion, and they end up realizing that they don't know how to cook it properly. And like, it
tastes like crap.
Like stuff in his book is just wrong. Like whoever wrote his book, like just wrote everything wrong. And he's like very much, like you said, like he's like a noob wanting to, you know, live out eating monster meat and stuff. Right. Which I thought was funny. Like he goes and prepare it, like, oh yeah. And then he's like, oh, this tastes like shit, you know?
Right. Right.
And then they
get farther into it where we actually meet Senshi.
Mm-hmm.
And Senshi, you know, like acts like he's never been out of the dungeon.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like he just stays there and just, you know, has whatever instruments of war that he's got and cooks and does all this other stuff. So, it's really funny with all that, because I know that he used some of the other stuff that they had, and the first thing that they actually make is a hot pot.
Yeah, and they like, I liked it when he was like preparing the scorpion, almost like preparing like a lobster almost, where he was like cutting it up and, you know, taking the chunks of meat out. And what kind of grossed me out, because it just reminded me of like... crawfish when he takes out like the poop line for the scorpion. I was like, that's disgusting. And he like gets like some slime because some slime falls down on, oh, I forgot what's her name,
Marcel.
I don't know why I can't remember their names. Marcel, which I was like, oh man, that's terrifying to see a slime fall on this girl, and she's like suffocating, which reminded me oddly of do you remember like the condom challenge, where like people would like fill up condoms with water, and like,
oh, and they had to drop it from their head.
Yes, and that's what it reminded me of.
Oh my gosh.
Oddly, I was like, oh man, that's so sad. She's gonna suffocate and die. And then I learned out that slimes actually have body parts, which I'm very surprised that they have body parts.
Right. You
know, I should know that because I did read the Monster Girls Encyclopedia, and there is a slime in that. So,
oh, and they have their jewel or the gem?
Yeah, yeah.
That makes me think there's something that I watched, and they're like, it's like a slime, but if you hit it, then it just automatically like disperses and it dissipates. So then there's nothing there. And this thing said, okay, well, how you got to do it basically is you got to use like a club and do a quick whack and bust that little jewel in there. Cause then it technically like you gave them a brain aneurysm or you exploded their heart and they just die. And then it still makes the meat of the slime or whatever still good. And it's like, that's a little weird, but okay.
Yeah, but they end up taking the slime and, like, putting it in this thing and, like, making, like, was it, like, dried slime noodles or something with it? It was something odd, you know? But one thing that this anime does really, really well is it makes all the food look somewhat appetizing. Like,
this is true.
Which is odd to say.
This is true. I almost feel like it's like whenever you have that relative that can't cook shit.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, like, they try cooking stuff and you see it and you're like, they expect it to look exactly like the picture that they saw.
And it doesn't.
And it comes out and it's like burnt, and, you know, like all this other shit. And you're like, you expected it to come out like that with no experience?
I was kind of waiting for like the anime trope to show up where like they make something and like the black and purple stink lines, like death lines come off of it and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I was waiting for that trope to show up, but that sadly, that trope did not show up. Maybe it shows up later. Who knows? But at the moment, there.
Well, I mean, I feel like we kind of would have seen it if it was like Leos eating the scorpion when he kicked it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So, yeah, but I feel like they're all about showing like really, really good fantasy monster food. It seems like. Right.
Which, well, I also think that they try and put it as close as they can to stuff that we have.
Uh-huh.
Because almost everything that they have in this seems relatable in some aspect.
I did find one thing a little bit odd with... when they're like...
Look out for them yet?
No. When they were eating like the food, they had like chopsticks?
Yeah.
Which... I would expect them to use like a spoon, a knife, or fork, you know, to eat their food because they're in more of like a European, almost fantasy type of world. I didn't expect them to like blend more like Eastern and Western culture together. When
right,
if you get what I'm saying, you know, like
yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, even like with the first dish, you know, it's a hot pot, and that's not something we usually have, you know. And I think they did try and do like a happy marriage between more Western and far Western culture.
Yeah,
I'm gonna call it that.
It's kind of like they merged like, you know, like Tolkien fantasy with like pseudo like Japanese food culture,
right?
I don't know if that makes sense, but that's what I got out of it.
I agree with you. I totally feel like it is like the perfect like fantasy-esque meets manga stuff, and then they go, ooh, you know, ooh. Why don't we like throw both of those together and make it about food? Yeah. You know, like let's do that. So, I mean, I get what you're saying, you know, that it does seem like that.
Yeah, that's what I took away from it. But we end up going further into the dungeon, which I was a little confused at first when they get to like the second level, the dungeon.
Yeah.
Where like they're like outside.
Where like, it looks like it's outside.
Yeah, where it looks like it's outside. And I was like, oh, what the hell's going on here? You know, what's going on? And we, one thing I like throughout this is Marcel's reluctancy to eat monster food, which,
oh my gosh, right,
it kind of like really hits me in that spot because I'm very reluctant to try new things when it comes to food a lot of times, so I really relate to her as a character in that way.
Yeah.
Which is really funny to think that I would relate to character like that. But yeah, it was, the first episode was really interesting.
They got to the tarts at the end of the episode, right?
Yeah, they were fighting the plants.
Yeah, and they made the tarts.
Yeah, they made the tarts, yeah. They ate a lot in this episode.
So I'm going to point this out just from looking at the relationship with the manga and what we already have. So in every episode, I think they've covered two chapters.
That seems about normal. Cause, I think.
Because we covered in this, they're showing chapter one, chapter two. Uh-huh. And then I know for episode two, we're covering three and four.
That seems about right. Because I think like even My Hero Academia covers like at least two chapters an episode.
My Hero.
So that's about normal when it comes to manga, I feel like, adapting a manga.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah. Moving on to episode 2, let's start talking about that one.
Episode 2. Well, so this part I like them getting into it a little more because mm-hmm. they also bring up fighting a monster.
Yeah.
And this is the floor where they had to get the basilisk eggs.
Was it they're fighting? I wanted to say they're fighting a chimera, but no, that's from Percy Jackson.
This is a basilisk.
Which egg. I just started watching. I was like, oh, they're fighting a. I was like, oh, that's not it. That's not it.
Hey, I've seen the first one episode of that too. We can cover it for the podcast.
I'm on like episode 4.
See, look, when we were talking about, I think I'm on. I finished at 3 because we had a Disney Plus problem. But this—that's one of the other ones I was talking about before we started the show of how I gotta wait like every week for an episode to come out.
I think that comes out on Thursdays too.
And I'm like, oh, now I gotta change to all these different places to watch my fucking episodes. Jesus,
gosh, first world problems, you know?
Right. First world problems. Maybe I don't know. maybe second world problems. But we get into a fighting style too, and Shinji and Laos do this one, and they're talking about how to defeat a basilisk because you can get the attention of one side, but if you get both of them, then it totally confuses the creature because then the heads don't know how to work together.
Yeah,
because this almost looks like a giant chicken with a snake tail coming out of it.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
And that's one of the problems with it is when you go to attack one, then the other one can get at you. And so they're talking about how the perfect strategy for doing this is while you're going to attack the one, have somebody else start attacking the other one, and it confuses the creature because it doesn't know where to move.
Yeah.
And so Shinji and Laos both lop off the head of this creature, and they go parboiling it and they pluck it dry and everything, and it looks like a chicken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though I love where Shinji's telling them to go, no, this is actually more like the snake bits, and you're like, how much of this is snake and how much of this is actually chicken?
Yeah, and don't they have to make something out of it to help out another adventurer?
Yes, there's another adventurer that got the poisons from the talons.
Uh-huh.
And they had some medical herb that they were like, oh, we can just give him. He goes, well, if we actually wait and we cook it, we can just feed him, and then he'll technically get HP back and be healed and go from there. So that was another part that I really loved out of this as well, because you get that stuff. And like in a game, I think it's very funny how in a game, you know, you kind of got to like operate in the system of like giving it to somebody right away.
Yeah.
And then we watch this and it's like, oh, well, we had enough time to like parboil it, roast it, do all this other stuff. You know, it took like 3 hours. So the guy had to sit there suffering from the poison, you know, for a while. But, you know, God damn it, we finished it in time. We finished at like 2 hours of 50 minutes, and now this guy can eat instead of 3 hours where he would have just died. You know?
I thought it would have been funny if he just died, like, and not
was totally thinking that was a thing that could possibly happen too, but
like since he's sitting there talking about it and preparing this nice meal for everybody, but yeah, you know, he's not. I feel like he was not worried about the time frame that they're working with of having guy die on them.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, buddy. You know, you might die.
You might die. But then we end up moving on. They end up getting further into the dungeon, and they end up in where we get to Chilchuck. And Chilchuck gets to show off his skills of basically trying to get through these traps. And this is one one section that I really did like is the
wait, didn't they do something else right before this part?
Did they? What did they do before this?
Didn't they do the mandrakes before this?
Oh yes, they did do the mandrakes. I'm sorry, I missed that completely. Yeah, we could talk about the mandrakes.
Which, you know, and Harry Potter, I think, does the best explanation of mandrakes. You know, if you hear one, it's going to basically, like, knock you out or paralyze you or whatever. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, you don't fully hear the scream because it could just give you brain aneurysm.
Yeah.
So they're trying to figure out how to do it. And, you know, like, you can start doing it right when you do it. You cut the head off. Mm-hmm. Well, Marcel has a book on this one.
Yes, Marcel has like a magic book.
Yeah, and hers is like, oh, you know, if you need to pull out a mandrake, you know, you tie it and you let a dog pull it out.
Yeah.
And then they were like, well, what happens to the dog? Well, the dog dies.
I was like, oh, are they going to make a dog die in this? I was like, if there's a dog that dies, I'm out. I'm out.
Right. So then Marcel's next part was she snuck away from the group of them doing it. And ended up tying it to a giant bat.
Which I thought was pretty funny.
Right? Yes.
I thought it was funny.
See, and I think the bat lasted a lot longer than it should have. Because I was like, all right.
I thought it was
bats are supposed to have really good ears. I think like once it yelled, it would just automatically die. Not like have like three, you know, actions that it could do.
I thought the ending of that joke was even funnier. When they go to make sure that Marcel is okay, and she's like almost has like a concussion almost and can't really like talk or anything proper, like do anything properly. They're like, oh, are you okay? Yeah. And she's like, I don't remember what she says, but I thought it was hilarious. Yeah. And then they end up getting a mandrake out with Sinchi, like just cuts the head off of one of them. And he's like, oh, you know, it's okay, you know.
And then they do taste both of them, right?
I think so, yeah.
And because Sinchi brings up how the ones that he's got look different than the one that she did.
Mm-hmm.
And is looking at him, and he said basically that the mandrake that they did has a little bit more of a sour, bitter taste to it versus the one that she has, which is more of a sweet and mellow taste.
Yeah.
So then we get into the part where he's like, oh, at some point, you know, there has to be something that kind of like makes everything when it yells, like change the flavor of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, what? I guess.
Okay. Sure. We'll go with that.
And then we get into this next part that you were talking about, the oil.
Where they're down in a different part of the dungeon, or up. I think they're going up, right?
They're going down.
They're going down, okay. They're going down deeper into the dungeon. They get to another floor where Chilchuck gets to show off his skills. And he, like, they're like, oh, like Sinchi's, like, so surprised that he's able to, like, do all this stuff. Like, and get through all these traps and whatnot, which this part was really funny. Where he was going through, he's like, okay, guys, you know, step where I step. And they go and they start stepping through on these stones that are in this room. And the whole place is booby trapped. And Sinchi ends up half stepping and stepping on a trap and like causing it to like, these spikes to go up around Chilchuck. And he's like, what are you doing? You trying to kill us? He's like, oh, I'm sorry. I just kind of step where I want to step, you know? And I think it's funny. So he starts and he activates this like flamethrower trap. And he's like, oh, how is this actually working? And then Chilchuck's like, oh, there's like oil around here in one of these traps that is setting it off continuously. He's like, oh, do you think we could like put something here to like, so we can like roast it or maybe we can deep fry something, you know? So he's thinking like not really like an adventure. He's thinking more like a chef almost, and like how he can prepare his next meal that he wants to have, which is a very interesting thought process, I would say.
Yes.
And so they end up finding like this room with all these different chests in it, these treasure chests, and they find one that holds the trap. And Chilchuck is like, "Hey, what do you want to do with this?" And he's like, "We're gonna use it to cook stuff." And he's like, "What do you want me to do? Stand here and hold this while hot boiling oil like sprays at us?" And he's like, "Don't worry, I'll catch it with my pot." Right. And he's like, "Well, I'm gonna stand here and I'm gonna catch all this hot oil." And like, he's like, "Okay, well, I'm gonna pull it and move out, run out of the way." And he gets all this oil, and this is where we talked about earlier, where you were like, "Why is your finger in the hot oil?" He's like, "Oh, because it's perfect. It's a perfect temperature to cook all this meat."
Yeah, which, it's a perfect 180 degrees.
It's a perfect 180 degrees, you know. And I don't remember what happens after this part, to be honest.
This is where they start frying all the food. So they fry all the vegetables.
That's it. I don't remember
mandrake and stuff. And
what did they make out of it?
What we know it as, the first part when he does the mandrake part as the vegetables,
uh-huh.
He makes like tempura vegetables.
Okay. Because I was really confused. Like, what did they make?
Yeah, and then after that, which I think, because I'm looking at our little list of chapters here, it's Kakiage, mm-hmm. Kakiage, which is like roasted chicken or deep fried chicken.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure that's the next thing that they made in the pot, but they don't say anything about the vegetables at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they cooked that up and had that.
Okay. And that's where the episode ends.
Right.
Okay. Cause I got a little distracted towards the end of this episode. Cause my girlfriend texted me and she was like, "Hey, are you on Netflix?" Cause we're like sharing Netflix.
Yeah.
And only one person can be on it at a time. And she's like, "You're watching our show together without me? How could you do this?" And I'm like, "I'm sorry, I'm watching it for the podcast.
I had to watch it again.
I've only watched episode two, up to episode two, you know?" And she's like, "How could you do this to me?" So I kind of forgot a little bit like what happened after that, you know. I was a little preoccupied that somebody being upset with me a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I guess we can give our first impressions of this and talk about it. And maybe we can cover like the next two episodes afterwards, you know, whenever in like 2 weeks when the next episodes come out, you know?
Right.
Well, I would be down to covering it.
And our next one should be about the living armor, which is when Leos gets his new sword that he deems Kintsugi.
Okay. And then there's like an episode after that, so you know. So we can do 3 and 4 next time or whenever. You know. So my first thoughts on this, I enjoyed it for the most part. I did have to watch it a couple times to like remember things. Because it's not my typical anime that I watch.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not really big into, like, the food anime or mangas, but I do feel... I'm a what? I'm a monster?
You're a monster.
I'm a monster? I do feel like this does work pretty well as an anime. I do feel like that if I did read this, I don't know if it would have the same effect on me personally. Because when they start to like go into like the info dumping in like manga, when I'm reading something and they start to info dump a lot, like I tend to like zone out. Yeah. But I felt like this one in particular, it did it fairly well, you know, it sprinkled in like comedy and stuff, well, which I thought was fun.
And let me throw that in there. So the other funny thing is that's different than this than it is in the manga, is you get that little info dump where Senshi's telling you how he cooked whatever it is. And then they will show you a picture of the food, and there will be a little list of what their rations had included and what they used out of it.
Okay, okay.
Which is kind of like the little checklist, you know, because sometimes he'll start talking about it, I'm like, when the fuck did they get that? And then I'll go back I'll read it. And I'll be like, oh, okay, so I can kind of go back and see what he was talking about and put it with the checklist. And, okay, well, what's... This is when they fought this thing. And, oh, okay. Because sometimes we'll get, like, we could be four episodes into something. And, oh, well, this creature we killed, like, four episodes ago, you know. Or four chapters ago or whatever. We still have, like, you know, the herbs from that or whatever. So you're kind of like, oh, okay. That's where that shit came from.
Yeah, like, so, oh, like.
Got it.
I originally I didn't really want to watch this because I didn't feel like it was my cup of tea. But then, it's like,
your cup of tea.
I don't know. Like, it didn't 100% gel with me, but I did love the jokes and like the comedy parts to it.
Yeah,
which kept me entertained and like the camaraderie between, like, the characters, I thought was really funny. I honestly, I really could care less about them making and eating stuff. I know I'm a monster for that, but, you know, I'm willing to continue watching this show. Didn't you
tell me about the dragon one where they cook things?
Is there a dragon one that cooks things?
Yeah, Drifting Dragons, that's what it is.
I've never watched Drifting Dragons.
And they get that and they're like, look, it's dragon steak, yay!
No, I have never watched or read or talked about Drifting Dragons.
Yeah.
That was not me. That was not me, buddy. But yeah, for the first two episodes, even though I had to watch them over twice, I enjoyed it for what it was. It's not my favorite thing. If I had to rate these two episodes, I would give them a solid 3 out of 5 in my personal opinion. I would.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
For me I would probably give them a 4. But that's only because I've read the manga enough to know, like, you know, we keep the food theme going for a while, and then where I'm at now, they try to keep the food theme in it, and it seems like they're far enough in the trying to get Fallon back adventure that it's just really more complicated for them to actually focus on the food.
Does the food aspect take like a backseat to the overall story?
Yes. You know, okay, at that point.
Okay.
Gotcha, at that point. Gotcha. But, you know, that's like book 7 or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting concept. It's a fun concept. You know, something, it's very much a fantasy wrapped around a food like anime.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not terrible. I was really surprised, though, that Studio Trigger was the ones who animated this.
Yeah.
I wasn't, because they do, like, a lot of the big, crazy stuff. I think they did, like, they do Kill la Kill, or, like, or I think it was Kill la Kill, or they do, like, Gurren Lagann, or Panty and Stocking. So, like,
yeah.
If I remember correctly, I don't remember who would, but they are associated with like Studio Gainax, basically.
Right.
And I was very surprised that they took this on. It just doesn't seem like their style of like stuff that they would like to animate. But I do think that like the animation was pretty well done for these first two episodes. Now, a lot of anime look really good for the first episode or two, and then sometimes they take a shit dive into poor quality, you know. But I mean, hopefully that doesn't happen to Delicious in Dungeons, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially because of how far this one is already, you know.
Yeah, true, true. But it'll be interesting to watch the rest of this. And this, I would be interested in covering the rest of this if we do like two episodes of podcasts.
Yeah.
Seeing how it goes. It'll be interesting to see like how we can time it out and stuff.
Oh, when we cover it?
Yeah.
Same time we put the Pokemon chapters out, you know?
You know, yeah. But yeah, I mean, was this everything that you expected it to be?
Yeah. With the manga, it is basically a one-for-one adaptation. Yeah. So I think the only rough part that I have in this is some of the voice actors that they picked for it. I hate.
Really? Who? Like who?
Oh, like Chilchuck's voice actor. I feel like...
Well, he wasn't
I feel like...
He wasn't like a big part of the first two episodes, really.
Yeah. But I mean, just some of the characters' voices, I'm like, what the fuck?
See, I didn't really have a problem with the voice actors at all.
Yeah.
I think they did a fairly decent job, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought they hit their marks pretty well. And I mean, I wasn't paying too much close to Chilchuck whenever he was on screen, because I was like, whatever. He's not going to be important.
I know. You're like, I got to pay attention to the dwarf.
Yeah, the dwarf is where it's at, because he has a beard. I did like the touch where we never saw his mouth.
Yeah.
And it, like, just doesn't move at all. Like, which I thought was funny.
Right. Well, and that, I don't think we actually see his mouth unless he's eating.
Yeah, which I don't know, I think that's a funny little touch.
Yeah.
Personally, like, if I went back and watch this again, I'd probably pick up on more little details.
Yeah.
And stuff. But yeah, for the first two episodes, it's pretty enjoyable, I would say. You know.
That's good.
Yeah. Woo-woo. It wasn't as terrible as I thought it was going to be.
Expect the unexpected, buddy.
Yeah. But we'll catch you guys on the next episode. And hope you guys enjoy. Hope you guys enjoy. This is a little different than what we normally do. So let us know what you guys think about this format of covering stuff. You can leave comments on Spotify. That's a new thing you can do now, is leave comments. And you can leave voicemails on Spotify for podcasters, I believe, the app.
Yeah.
If you want to leave a voicemail, leave us a voicemail. If you want to help the podcast out, listen, share the podcast, tell your friends. That's the best way to help Otakuology grow. And, you know, we would love to hear from more people out there. And we're trying to get our numbers up so we can be a bigger podcast. Because some say we are the Tenacious D of podcasting. I don't know who says that, but somebody says that.
I can see that.
Yeah. But we want to say thank you for listening, and we'll catch you guys on the next episode. What do we say?
Next Tuesday.
Yeah, that's right. See you next Tuesday.